This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
In just the third year after Coach K, Duke is returning to basketball's biggest stage. 85-65, the final here in Newark. Duke advances to the Final Four.
He'll throw it away. He'll put the ace. Did we just see what we think we just saw? Wow!
Confetti!
Is this the most likable Duke team you have ever seen? I gotta be honest with you. I don't feel the same sickness that I used to feel when Duke would win. When even their head coach and John Shire's team won at the against Butler in Indianapolis. I didn't love it. I hated it, right? I hated Duke. I always hated Duke. Chris Carriwell, Shane Battier, Trajan Langdon, J.J. Redick.
Woj.
Coach K.
Coach K. Grayson Allen. And that's what it is right there, Bobby Belt.
It's K.
I think it's just Coach K.
No, you got to have the players. I mean,
yeah.
Filipowski.
Filipowski.
Hated.
Hated. You know, I don't hate Cooper Flagg.
No.
I think Cooper Flagg's a relatively likable player. I enjoy his style of basketball. He's really, really good. He is all over the floor. Like, he plays the game the right way. He's not a dirty player like Grayson Allen was. Like, the only one I really don't like on Duke is Con Knepel, and that's just because I don't like his name is Con Knepel.
Yeah, you want him to make the K silent.
Right? Yeah, Nip Nipple. Right? Con Knepel. That's a much better way. You know, but he's got the Flying Knepel brothers, which is like his dad and his brother. They all have a K first name. Like
trapeze artists?
It sounds like they'd be trapeze artists.
Sounds like one of those shows Peyton saw in Vegas, the Flying Knepel brothers.
But yeah, so he's the only one that's unlikable. He just sounds like that preppy dude who went to, you know, the bad school.
I don't know. So Coach K would make the most sense because they're not as hateable right now, but it's definitely the players too. So I don't know. Was it just the type of players Coach K was turning them into and that made them irritating maybe?
It's just like a white preppy. It goes back to the Fab Five, Grant Hill stuff. Like, that's what it is.
Like, I hated, growing up when I was younger, I hated Patino, Kentucky way more than I hated Tubby Smith, Kentucky. Like, okay. I hated and I always kind of felt like it was a culture that Patino had set. And then same sort of thing. I didn't nearly hate the Calipari Kentucky as much as I hated the Patino Kentucky. I was rubbed the wrong way by St. John's this year. It's probably because of Patino. And so I think the coach, especially in college basketball, the coach is such a big part of your perception of the team.
Although no one hated Zion. I don't know who else was on that team.
Zion. I can't remember that.
I love the J. Will Duke team, but I love Jason Williams in college. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure they had. If you go back, I wish Wikipedia had, you know, the generations and the decades and the week by week of most hated the Duke hated player.
Hated Duke team?
Yeah. And you could go, I bet, for 30 straight years.
Some of the
You didn't skip a beat.
Yeah, was Elton Brand on the J. Will Duke team, or was he before?
He was earlier than that. RJ really Barrett, hated. Cam Reddish, they were on the Zion team.
Yeah, not hated.
Not hated. And look, they had three top 10 picks of that team. Like they were great. They really were. And
ooh, there was a lot of hateable on Jay Williams' team. It was Carlos Boozer, Mike Dunleavy, Chris Duhon, Daniel Ewing. That's
God,
a lot of hate.
That's so much hate. So much hate.
I hated
hate
Boozer. I hated Dunleavy.
You hated Boozer?
Yes, oh, I hated Boozer.
Based off what?
Probably he played for Duke.
Like, was Corey Maggette on those teams? Like, yeah, they have so many great players of all time. And look, I just don't harbor any disdain towards John Shire right now. Now, like, could you say how he, you know, you don't like that he got the job, that, you know, could have been somebody else, that, you know, wasn't just gifted a job basically 5 years after he graduated, whatever it was.
Have you hated any UConn players here under that Dan Hurley run? I want to see if Bobby's Coach K philosophy is trickling down to any of those players.
Good point. No, none of the players stand out.
Yeah, but so also, that makes your original point stupid.
That's why I just said it was a good point. Next time I'll give you credit.
We also don't know the players of college basketball anymore the way we used to.
Right.
They're all one and dones. You know, Caravan's been around. You know, who was the guy? Oh, Donovan Clingan. Nobody liked him. He was that tall guy last year. A lot of people kind of like put the hate on him.
Cherokee Parks.
Yeah, he had a bad he had a bad final. But, man, I hate Duke, but I don't hate this version of Duke the way I used to. And that's throwing me off. It's bothering me. And I don't hate John Shire.
And I think Duke probably, in the history of sports, has the most hateable players.
Yeah.
You could give me college or pro. Like, you could give me Yankees. You could give me Patriots. Are they the two seed? Rodney Harrison, Tom, Bill.
A lot of people hated Willie McGinnis. Let's see here. Who else?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think they come close. Like, did you not like the little white receivers?
Duke basketball, yeah. That's probably number one, I would think.
Yeah, I think it easily is number one. They have so many guys because they're the one school where you remember all the players. Like it was just that we don't remember the UConn players. You hardly do. You always remember who's on Duke.
Yep.
It is the college kegger here on 105, the Fan. Texas Tech, they were up basically the entire second half on floor. They had a 10-point lead with a handful of minutes to go, and they blow it. Mm. They blow it on Saturday against the Gators, an 18-4 run to end it, and Florida wins 84-79.
This is brutal. And I was sitting there, I was watching, I was so sure they were losing. That's why, careful, cover your ears, Chop. Yo. When I was texting you guys in the group text the other day and I had mentioned Florida losing, I was certain that one was done. It was just like, all right, Florida's not making enough shots down here. And it was at the 250 mark, they are down whatever they were down, like 77-68 or something. And by the 247 mark, or 147 mark, 1 minute and 3 seconds, it was tied. Just like that. Over really quick, and it was just overwhelming. And I felt if I was a Tech fan, I would not have gotten out of bed. I would stay. I would have called in sick today.
Well, the most psycho Tech fan that I know, his name is Brent, and I checked on him through another friend. I texted my guy Ricky. I said, "Are you around Brent?" I mean, watching him during a Texas Tech baseball game, you think he's going to drop dead from a heart attack. And I was like, "Are you around Brent today during the crawfish party?" He said, "Yeah, he did it. He drop kicked something at halftime."
Oh man,
he kicked something.
The 3-point game.
Picture behind him on the couch.
It's a 3-point game.
If I recorded this, it would have gone viral. If I was in Arlington instead of driving back from San Antonio.
Oh, I mean, it was 3-point game at half. Then Tech took control, and then they kind of gave it away. And you know, I said earlier, I think Walter Clayton, if they wind up winning this thing, he's going to go and he's going to have that name like Mateen Cleaves or you know, Bobby Hurley, if you want to go down that far.
Khalid El-Amin. Yeah.
Who?
Sure.
Khalid El-Amin.
Yeah,
Khalid El-Amin. I did.
Khalid El-Amin.
Shabazz Napier.
I think it was
Kemba.
Khalid.
Well, you
not Khalid.
He is he's absolutely the best guard in the country, and this is a guard tournament, and you just gotta have that. And that's why, you know, real quick, I have to go back to the Duke game, and I got killed for this on the BetMGM network. Killed for it. I said Mark Sears is not a big time player at Alabama. Well, he's had 6 points in the Duke game. So for at least one day, I was proven.
Suck it.
Yeah, that's right. Suck it, BetMGM fan. Called me out. Yeah. Loser.
I'll tell you what I didn't like about Tech, by the way, in this game. Their shot selection in the last 3 minutes was awful. They started panicking, and they were chucking some shots up that they shouldn't.
On Sunday, there was two games as well, and I almost didn't come into work today. I was so down because we never even got up for this game. Houston beats Tennessee 69-50. We had 15 points in the first half.
15?
And we both scored 35 in the second half. So it did not. It was 19 points at halftime. Stayed 19. Just an awful, awful show. And we started 0-14 from three. Could not shoot. Everything was short. Nothing. Got nothing going the entire game. This probably was one of my most disappointing.
Yeah. What's your last most three devastating sports losses as a fan? Is it all college?
Yeah, probably. This one.
This hurt you more than like any recent Tennessee football loss?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't as good as Ohio State. Honestly, you know, the loss that they had to South Carolina a couple years ago in the regular season with Hendon Hooker, we were like in the playoff and we wound up losing. Yeah. That hurt. This one hurt more. And then the 08 or 09 Elite Eight against Michigan State where they lost to Draymond Green by one, that hurt. But this one just never got it going. And now the program is at a crossroads because I think old Rick is going to call it a career.
You do.
I think he retires because, I mean, everyone's gone. We have nobody coming back for next year. We had five seniors that were starting. Like, nobody returns. So I don't know why he would come back and want to actually do. He's 71 years old. And now the program is going to be at a crossroads. And I'm very, very down. Very, very down.
That's interesting. Why, you know, everybody else, it's like these freshman teams or these, like, you know, sophomore transfers and stuff like that. How did you guys end up with five seniors starting?
Well, two of the guys had been there the whole time. They got there and they stayed. They loved it there, I guess. And then we had a bunch of other seniors.
NIL to stay.
That NIL to stay. Yeah, really.
Diego Pavia.
So we got a good NIL program, but it's, you know, all right, a crossroad.
Have you been happy with Rick? You would love.
I love Rick. I think Rick's great.
Okay.
I know there's some Tennessee fans who don't like him. I just like, dude, like I saw what happened in Austin. Like they ran him out of town, and they've been chasing the similar success.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, you can be unhappy with Elite Eight runs. Like, go ahead. I'm not unhappy with this at all. Like, this has been the most relevant, you know.
So would you rather have lost in the Texas Tech way or the way you did yesterday, a 3-hour slow bleed or the Texas Tech devastation if it was your team?
I'd rather the slow bleed, I think. Just put me to my realization. But yeah. Aaron, on the other side, I didn't even get a chance to enjoy that game.
Right.
So, like, you could have enjoyed
three quarters of the other one.
Right. At least if I had the Texas Tech. So, yeah. Now that you're thinking it like that, I would have liked to enjoy that game. I looked forward to that. I was looking so forward to that game.
It's like the Cowboy-Packer playoff game.
Yeah.
It's like you're geared up, you're ready, and then it's over after the first two possessions. It's just dragging out.
Right. Right. It's it. It's like, come on, man. Like, I can't.
You're going to be angry after the Dez catch of a Packer playoff game.
But you enjoyed 3 hours of that football game.
Right.
And it was competitive.
And you get to talk about it as just like, we were so close. If that would have changed, like, you get to hold on to some hope. When you see that, it's like, well, that was miserable.
Like, let's go back to the tip and let's not have a turnover in the first possession and then see how it changed.
Yeah. See how much Jared could take.
And then Auburn, they beat Michigan State 7-64. And Jani Broome had a big game, 25-14. And what is going to happen with his elbow? How does it feel today?
What do we make of that? Because they're like, playing operation on TV yesterday. They're like, oh, it's the foot, it's the leg, and then it's the wrist, and then it ends up being the right arm.
The elbow.
And he looked like he said, I'm done, walking off the floor with his mom down there crying, and then he comes back, grabs a one-arm rebound, and hits a three. He has to be good in 6 days.
I would think so. And they don't play till Saturday night. They'll play the first game on Saturday, 6 o'clock against Florida. You know, Florida's a good team, though, and they're going to need him to be 100% because, I mean, he is.
Did you think when he went out they were going to lose that 10-point lead and lose the game? They were in trouble?
It was a lot of time left. It was a lot of time left. I thought, obviously, it was one of those kind of in peril things.
It got down to 6, I think, at that point.
Well, right after it ended at 6.
Yeah. They were able to trim it down. I think they're going to sweep this injury under the rug.
Woo!
Do you see what I did?
Broom.
Oh, broom. Uh-huh. Sweep.
What's the broom?
It's his last name.
Jani Broome. It's his last name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the way we're ending this?
You know,
college basketball plan, but kegger I guess so. Here. The entire show is back, in case you could not tell, here on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a total that stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. RJ's day went from bad to worse. Bobby Belt partying it up with Zach Wolchuk. And the acceleration of Peyton Russell just continues, plus my trip to San Antonio. Best and worst of the weekend. Tell us your stories, good and bad, after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad f***ing weekend.
It's best and worst of the weekend. We usually do it every Monday, 740 Expressway, and it is going to be brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Best and worst of the weekend, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Thanks for being a Tolo. Got the entire morning show back together again with Sean, RJ, and Roberto. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. Let us know what you got into, good and bad. Frank LaFrego Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. Took the first family trip to San Antonio.
Well.
Ah, yes.
And my mom last night was like, oh, you back from your vacation? I was like, I wouldn't call it a vacation when you're traveling with a one-year-old and a five-year-old. To me, it's just hanging on for dear life. My wife probably overdid it in terms of her prep. Every damn type of snack. Bringing home ice for different bags. And we're going there for 2 days. But I'm not going to say anything because she's doing all the work. I was just terrified of the car ride. As I texted Bobby, he said, when do you leave for San Antonio? SeaWorld. I was like, I'm just terrified of my daughter. She was actually pretty good. She was actually pretty good, but I had the grandparents in the car to help out. And the drive was not as bad as I thought. About a 4.5-hour drive. Man, there's toll roads. God knows what it's going to charge me. But, man, 80, 85 miles per hour. 35 and back.
Oh, yeah. Those are that toll road around, the loop around Austin.
Oh.
That's a great road.
Tremendous.
Yeah, it's so much more clutch than going to San Antonio. Like, you had to time it. So you did not hit Austin anywhere after like 2 p.m.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because the traffic, it's one road. It's right there. You had to make it so you hit Austin like between 1 and 1:30. That's how you beat the rush for lunch and the rush home for from work.
On the way to San Antonio, the big oh my gosh moment was the Tesla plant. We're driving up on it. I'm like, what is that? What is that? And Elon's building, holy crap. You got to get the square footage on this thing. I was in awe. I was in awe. But every Tesla.
Was it on fire?
Well, there was a protest as my dad got his the other day in Maryland and Democratic State. And there was a big protest out there. He was reconsidering, like, is someone going to throw one of those cocktails at me that blow up the car? But this thing.
10 million square feet. It's the Tesla Gigafactory.
Dude.
It's over 10 million square feet, and they plan to add 5.2 million square feet to the plant by the end of 2026.
It was a sight to see. It was impressive. It was crazy.
You know what I would do if I was your dad? No matter what his affiliation or his opinion, if I just spent all that money on a Tesla and I don't want to get ruined, I'm slapping a Kamala sticker on the back of it. And then people are going to be like, here, look, I'm not one of these. I just happen to have the vehicle.
Regardless of whether you think it's that's
Yeah,
happening.
Regardless of what your opinion is, just put that on there to protect your car.
1,000%.
Was SeaWorld worth it? I guess I would say barely. I mean, all of it's a ripoff. You know, $40 parking here and there, $18 beers. And then you got to hit the show. You got to hit those Orca shows at the right time. You know, you got to get into the stadium. Maybe walk back and forth and back and forth. First, when I walked in, I was like, oh, gosh, like this is a ripoff. Like, where are the freaking animals? And then we saw a whale show. Ollie was happy with it. And then on San Antonio is a city. Like many of the Tolos said.
Did you stay downtown or did you stay out by the hill
downtown.
Country?
Yeah, I stayed downtown. Got ripped off by the hotel, charging me for valet. I didn't even use their valet. They lied to me about a Riverwalk view. I had to play the Charles Barkley San Antonio audio for my father-in-law to make him laugh. He loves San Antonio. Took him to his first ever piano bar.
Ooh.
And then the biggest fit I threw was over pizza dough. As there was this place, every Tolo said, go to this pizza place. So I was like, okay, one night. Everyone's exhausted. I'll go out at 7 p.m. and get this pizza. It's open like a couple days a week from 3 to 9 p.m. I was like, all right. I tried calling in. No, no call-ins. You know, it's like a, these pizza places have turned into craft beer, Choppy.
Yeah.
Your disdain.
They
change all the rules. You can't just go order a pie. You can't order pizza. And I go, and we pull into the parking lot, and the whole place shut down. I'm like, I got the wrong place. This place moved. Sold out at 4:45 p.m.
Wow.
3 p.m. open, 4:45 dough sold out.
It's like a barbecue joint.
And I DM'd him. I was so ticked off. I was half buzzed. I just DM'd. I said, make more dough. Make more dough to make more dough. So I was ticked off. And then on the way back home, I'm like, are there still Goodyear blimps? It's the Charles Barkley Capital One blimp. And I'm like, there's no freaking way that's heading to San Antonio.
Oh, no.
Because that thing, you think Teslas are going to get taken out on the road? That thing's going to get shot down in San Antonio.
Yeah, that was for the Final Four, duh, right?
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Makes sense.
But I was still like, people going to take shots at that.
Oh, yeah.
With what Charles has said.
Literal shots.
His famous line of Victoria's definitely a secret down in San Antonio.
Absolutely.
And all the churros jokes. Mm-hmm. So I saw the Capital One Barkley, and then I had to have the kids stop at Bucky's and do all the touristy stuff on the way home. So all in all, solid trip.
Nice. My worst
of the weekend was pizza dough.
Pizza dough. Pizza dough. I didn't really have a best. I guess the best of the weekend also contributed to the worst of the weekend. My best of the weekend was Julian had a baseball tournament this weekend. The rains on Saturday night canceled the tournament because I was worried about what I was going to do about the Tennessee game, because as the schedule would have hit, we would have been playing a game during the Tennessee game. But then I realized real fast, you never want the best news of the day to happen in the morning. It can only go downhill from there. And boy, did it go downhill for me. Because by 2 o'clock, my day was ruined because we were getting blown out in the game. And then it only got worse because last night, Sarah was taking a nap and I got a wild hair out there. 6:30, 7 o'clock. I was like, it's a nice night out. I'm going to go aerate the yard, punch the yard, right? I have one of these little...
Aerate?
Yeah, so we poke holes in the yard to let it grow. And I start using this thing in this one spot. It never grows grass, ever. And I start to push this thing into the ground, and it stopped. And then I got the old pickaxe out. Like, what the hell's going on under here? And it's nothing but mortar. When the builder built the house, my neighbor across the street, crazy cat dude, he came out and he said, yeah, when they built your house, they took the bags of mortar that were left over, and they just threw them onto the soil. And then they put the sod over top of it. That's why your grass doesn't grow. So I'm like, well, great, dude.
He just told you this?
He may have told me before, but like, probably didn't remember, wasn't paying attention, didn't know what he was talking about.
Okay, crazy cat guy, whatever.
Let's go back over there.
Yeah.
Let's just go skin your cat for me. It's under there. It's under there.
Rock.
Hard rock.
He has pieces of it. He'll show you. He has pieces of rock like in his yard.
Guys, I saw it. I just asking for radio purposes.
I didn't know you'd seen it.
I'm on a group text, dummy.
Just
hey,
hard
don't
rock.
Talk about that.
And it's terrible. And I figure out how to fix this because I've got.
Yeah, how are you going to fix it?
I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to literally dig up my front yard and go down and get this stuff because I've already got a bunch out. I probably got 15 pounds of this stuff out of the ground. And I've got to now figure out how to get the rest of it out because I don't want to have to go through that thing again where I'm using the
So you think it was axe. Just your house that they used as the
I was the last
the landfill?
I was the last house on the block.
So
I was what's called the washout. All the trash from the rest of the neighborhood went right into my yard.
That's what happens to me.
I was
going to
say,
well.
you are the last house. Do you know
and
if
I'm
you got
lower
stuff?
Than everyone else? Now I'm the only one that doesn't have a daggone drop off hill in the backyard, so that's good. But I get all the water, all the crap, all the trash blown towards my house.
You might have some mortar under your yard then, because you were the last lot there. Saturday, so Kristen was out of town this weekend.
Where'd she go?
She went to the Llama Ranch that her uncle has in Central Texas, and giant ranch they have where they raise llama herds and stuff like
why
that.
Why didn't you go?
Because I had to work Saturday morning. They left Friday. And so I was working, couldn't go. And then, of course, she gets there. And
is this where she saw the snake last year?
Maybe. I don't remember. She was 2 hours after getting there. She got hit. But she ate something wrong, something. She was sick the entire trip while she was there after that. She ended up in the urgent care on Saturday. They had to drive like 20 minutes from the middle of nowhere to get to an urgent care so they could give her IV fluids because she couldn't keep anything down.
Always a bad day in the mail.
nuts.
Saturday I was like, all right, well, I don't have anything to do. And so Walchuk was like, hey, you want to come over watch the Texas Tech game? And I was like, sure. So I went over there. His brother-in-law, Maya's brother, Ben, is a he covers Texas Tech for Rivals. His name is Ben Golan, and he's listened to the station for a long time, and he was really cool, but he is a Texas Tech alum, and he is so invested.
Wow. You should have recorded him.
Well, Walchuk did. Walchuk was recorded. I told him to do it because I think Walchuk was a little buzzed to realize the opportunity. I was like, hey, you need to record him. So he started recording him. I don't know what good audio he got. I think he was going to try to play that today. But yeah, his brother-in-law was just talking all sorts of smack and then is sitting there with his arms crossed, just looking devastated. And of course, I can't miss the opportunity to be a jackass. So I start gator chomping right there next to him. And Zach joined in with me on it. That only made things worse. He did tell me, he's like, I can't watch a game with you anymore because you're a jinx, because you were here when they lost this game. So anybody that I was watching this with is now out. You can't watch games with me moving forward.
Wow.
So he's very, very nice. Intense about that. But he had his arms crossed and he went, this is 2011. This is Nelson Cruz. This is the Rangers. Again, this is all over again, because he's a big Rangers fan. And so he was just beside himself, upset, never seen life sucked out of a human quicker. But it was great. Zach's buddy Brandon was there, big time listener of the morning show. He was following along with the bracket. He was like, hey, how are y'all doing? Who's trailing? So it was a good time. I enjoyed hanging out over there, and it was great trolling Peyton Russell's Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Thanks.
Best and worst of the weekend, Pepe.
First off, the 817 says their best was seeing RJ Choppy at the baseball fields this weekend.
Chris?
I don't know his name. He didn't say, but he said he didn't come say hi because he didn't want to bother you on your day off. So,
oh man, I just say hi. Just say hi. Come on over to me. Say hi.
My best and worst, kind of the same, but my best was I got the text Friday night from the mortgage lender saying you are all set to close on your house.
All right.
So. No more renting for me, guys. No more.
Does the rate start with a 6?
Yes, it does.
All he's asking about is a rate. Trying to poo-poo on his 6.
No. You'll be good. You're all right. You're good.
I can refinance.
6? Is that all right? Good?
The first house we bought, I was in the 5s back then. It's not, yeah, I mean, it's 5s is like back when it was like normal. We got, you know, if you're in the 2s, like I am, you're stuck. Jay. You're stuck. Yeah, we got lucky. We got lucky in 2021. We got lucky.
Yeah, you're stuck paying that too.
Well, I've looked into refinancing, so I'm sure that's an option later on down the road. But my worst is basically the same thing. Is closing's Friday, which means the down payment's going to hit. That wire transfer is going to hurt. I'll be at Sean's house Friday night asking for leftovers because I won't be able to afford a meal. Which is why I probably shouldn't have gone out for a Korean barbecue on Saturday.
Yeah, that was my follow-up.
Yeah, why am I spending, gosh, after the drinks and alcohol, you know, that we spent there, it was a little over $80, I think, for the entire thing.
How did you get McKenzie to go to Korean barbecue?
Well, on my Instagram story, you did not see McKenzie because she was not there. She stayed back to watch Texas Tech, and she doesn't like Korean barbecue. So
you went to dinner without her.
Well, because you can't just have someone sit at the table. They'll charge you. They did that last time when I brought her. They charged me $40 because she just sat there and didn't eat. So you gotta pick and choose where to go to eat. All my friends wanted to go there. I was like, you know, I'll go there. She was fine with me going. She was able to watch the Tech game alone. But yeah. And I texted her when Bobby had texted y'all about the game being over. I texted McKenzie. I was like, well, congrats on the win. And they lost. And she was not happy with me.
Wow.
I said, wow, you're going to the Final Four. Lubbock's about to be on fire.
It's on fire.
Oh, that's great. By the way, I just Venmo'd your $80 for How Young Is Peyton Russell. Reminded me when you said $80. I was like, oh yeah, you got to Venmo.
So who did you go with?
The Los Hombres. Los Hombres. They're girlfriends / fiancés. So
okay.
So you were the seventh wheel?
I was seventh wheel.
Was it worth it? The flavors? Bring it all back?
It was so good. So good. First time in a few months I've gone.
Oh, man.
So,
best and worst of the weekend with Pepe, Bobby Belt, RJ Choppy, and I'm Sean Treve. Thanks for being a Tolo and letting us know what you got into. And this will usually be Mondays during the Expressway, and it is going to be powered and driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Is this right?
Yeah, it's right.
Are you sure?
Yep.
You wrote this sober.
Mm-hmm.
Why Bobby wants the Cowboys to trade for a quarterback. Next, in B-Lo, the Belt, right here on The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
What?
there.
What happened?
What did
I
you?
I thought that was a one day.
No,
that's not.
That's the new one.
No, that is not permanent. We're not doing that one permanently.
What's going on?
So,
Bobby did a song on Thursday. We all did songs for Rangers opening day, and Peyton took some outtakes because Bobby did like another Disney type song. Yeah. So Peyton took some outtakes from it, and we added it to the Below the Belt intro. And I thought it, it added some.
There you go. Stop playing that. Don't ever play. Peyton didn't take outtakes. I screwed up in the editing between the breaks and left it in the song, the stumble, and it was a screw up. I don't even know if Peyton noticed it until I pointed it out to him during the break. I was like, that was bad. I left that stumble in there. And then he would not stop playing it for the next 24 hours.
So great. You got to keep the drops going.
And then the Below the Belt intro was every other drop we had in there was followed by that. And so it played like five times, which I found out later was Aiden. So Aiden needed to be included in that song.
Aiden really was the catalyst for all this.
Choppy and Peyton were in there. Let's trade for a quarterback here with the Cowboys. We should do that. We should really look into trading for a quarterback here in Dallas. And I'll explain why. So Todd Archer is out at the owners' meetings or the league meetings that are occurring right now in Florida. And we read some Stephen Jones quotes earlier today relating to, hey, we're still not done. We got to add some pieces. They feel good about where things are at with the Micah contract. Some standard, in all honesty, just some standard Stephen quotes about things. But Todd shared this quote. Are the Cowboys looking for a backup quarterback with a similar skill set as Dak Prescott? Here's what Stephen Jones said. I think we look at the full package when you're looking at it. You're probably not going to get all the things just right. You know exactly what you want, but at the same time, you certainly want to get the very best guy that gives you the best chance to compete with Greer and be in that room with Dak and whoever else we add. They still want to add a quarterback, probably through the draft is what they're going to look at. I did see last night, I've not had a chance to text him yet. I need to text him and ask him where he said this. I saw one of those aggregating Cowboys content accounts. A couple of them shared something from Clarence where Clarence said, hey, a reunion with Trey Lance is not out the window. Like, that could be something that they investigate again. But that's the thing. Lance is not Dak. Their skill sets are not similar at this point.
Let me ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite questions to ask about number four.
Mm-hmm.
What is his skill set?
Specifically when you're talking about play style, he is at this point
a pocket passer.
Yeah. This
drop back pocket passer
at this point, more of a pocket passer. Yeah. That's what he does. I mean, very limited in terms of the scope of how much he can move. He's 32 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this kind of all comes in. I have been the biggest Dak Prescott supporter. Still am. Still very much believe in, if you believed in the guy that you saw at the end of the MVP, the runner-up MVP, or if you believe in that guy, 7 games is not a large enough sample size with everything going to hell last year for me to say we're just out on who he is. But here's the bigger issue right now. Over the last 6 seasons that he's played, he has had 6 significant injuries. And those injuries continue to pile up to the point where at his age, going into his 32 season, where he's at in his contract structure, a couple of years out, so you would have time to plan for this. If he has a significant injury again this year, he becomes too high of a risk to have that much of an investment in. If he has 7 injuries in 7 years, 7 significant injuries.
I mean, but you're stuck with the investment in him, right?
You're stuck with the investment. Yeah, but you can't flip any switches. You are going to have to just bite the bullet, and yes,
you're going to have to.
What you're going to have to do is we're not restructuring his deal. We're not doing this. You are going to have to create a parachute to get out.
They're not going to do that though. You know that.
I'm saying what I think they should do. They need to create a parachute to get out if he gets hurt again this year. Because if he gets hurt again this year, he's not at that point. He's broken down. He's officially broken down. Now, if he stays healthy, all right, well, maybe we're looking okay. But if he gets hurt again this year...
The 7 injuries were...
It's 6 so far. So he had the shoulder. Ankle. It was the AC joint at the end of 2019, where then he wasn't able to really play very well against Philadelphia.
You really have to go through all the injuries?
Shoulder, calf, hammy, ankle, thumb.
Lat.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over. His entire body is having issues. So if he has another issue this year, you have to say, all right, this has become way too big a risk. And because now he's not even running and he's getting hurt.
Yeah.
And we can't deal with this. So with that in mind, I think I don't want to just take a flyer on a quarterback in the draft necessarily. You can. I would not be opposed if there was...
Let's see how serious of a tease this was.
I would not be opposed to... We did the segment last week talking about who's the next down-on-their-luck rebound candidate. Like Sam Darnold has become Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith. Like these guys who they revived their career after being like really highly touted players who didn't click. I would not be opposed to giving up a second or third rounder to go after somebody like Will Levis or get one of these quarterback who I'm just like, all right, this is my current contingency plan to bail on this contract.
Settle down just a little bit.
And it's not because of anything about, I think, the way that he plays. It's just, I don't know if it happens again this year, he's not going to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big issue. But they're at least thinking about the backup quarterback position. They've got Will Greer here right now. He's not technically on the roster. He's futures deal, finished on the practice squad last year. But I think that typically what the Cowboys have looked for in their backup quarterbacks, they want somebody who's going to study. They basically just want an assistant for the starting quarterback to help with different study points and things like that. So if they're talking about...
Whatever happened, by the way, random question to Tannehill?
Oh, gosh.
Didn't it feel like he never came back?
Yeah, it did feel exactly like that. Because he played okay early in his career. Then he had that big comeback when he was playing with Tennessee. But yeah, he just kind of disappeared. Yeah, 2023 was the last time he played. And he didn't play well. So that was probably it. It was just probably hung up.
Yeah, but he's never had a great team around him.
No, he hasn't. But, I mean, he definitely revived his career.
Yeah.
When he got to the point. I mean, there was that four-year run in Tennessee.
He's 36.
That four-year run in Tennessee before that last year where he didn't play very well. I mean, he was 89 touchdowns to 33 interceptions and generally moved the ball pretty well, made them an effective team.
Who else would you throw in a Levis category?
So some of the names that we threw out last week were, we were talking about Bryce Young.
Bryce isn't going anywhere.
No, I know.
Not Pickett.
Oh, no, not Pickett, because I think Pickett's already kind of shown you exactly who's. I do hold out hope somewhere deep down that Zach Wilson will put it together. That was a common answer
That's
we got last
guy.
Week on the text.
Your guy.
There were a lot of people on the text last week who were saying they think Wilson is a good candidate to rebound with Mike McDaniel in Miami.
Well, he just had Sean Payton.
Yeah, but I mean, Sean Payton's basically Mike McCarthy. Didn't we already establish that chop, right? Am I right?
No, John Harbaugh.
Same coach. He is.
Oh, see, John Harbaugh. I'm glad you mentioned that. What a tease. What a transition. Perfect point. John Harbaugh. You know, we talked earlier, Stephen Jones saying, I think it's a bunch of phooey talking about getting ahead of contracts. We don't put any stock into that. Do you know what John Harbaugh is talking about right now at league meetings in Florida?
Covering up Justin Tucker.
No, not that. They probably are talking about that. But John Harbaugh is already talking about an extension on Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson got paid less than 2 years. That was like a year and 10 months ago.
The Bills did the same thing with Josh Allen. That's what you do. That's what you do. If you know your quarterback is going to be on the roster in 3 years, you extend them.
I thought you were going to talk about Harbaugh getting an extension.
No, this would be a Lamar Jackson extension, which this is what he said. He said, how far along they are or whatever, I don't know. He said, I definitely think it's something that they've addressed, something that they've discussed. He said, you've just got to kind of manage that dance, the salary cap dance. And Lamar is the main part of that because he's the franchise player. So he said he thinks that's a possibility. He said sooner or later, it's definitely going to have to happen. So they're already looking at internal approaches to their contract structure and how they free things up for Lamar Jackson. You mentioned Justin Tucker. The Baltimore Ravens are taking the wait-and-see approach. Classic Baltimore Ravens, just like they did with Ray Rice. Just kind of sit back, wait, see what the league does, see if the league gives them any covering fire. Like, oh, you're not going to suspend him indefinitely? Okay, well, then we'll keep him, even though he's kicking like 60% at this point. Yesterday, it was Sashi Brown, the president of the Ravens, said, from our standpoint, I think we want to make sure that we have a great understanding of the facts, an actual understanding of the facts, hear both sides of the situation, and that we allow the investigation to properly be conducted and concluded and make decisions based on the full information. Which, again, to me sounds just like, I want to see if the league will not come down hard so that then we don't have to come down hard, potentially.
I'm really surprised they just didn't take this opportunity to cut him. It's like they want to hang on to him despite him falling apart last year. I'm like, this was your out.
Yeah, they probably don't
want to make it look like that they're rushing to justice.
It could be that, or they probably don't want to just cut one of somebody who's going to be in their Ring of Honor just off of an allegation. I understand that. The Ravens, they'll put themselves in a corner because they have been out front and saying, we have a zero tolerance policy.
Man, what a Ring of Honor. Ray Lewis, Ray Justin Tucker.
That's a ring, man.
What a crew.
Yeah. But generally I'm like, look, you absolutely do not make decisions off of allegations. You see it through in all situations. I also will be very stunned. Let's say this gets to week one and the NFL hasn't concluded their investigation. I'd be stunned if the league doesn't put him on their restricted list or whatever the commissioner's exempt list is or whatever. You can't have him out there when this is going on.
I did ask somebody that I know who works with the league, not one of the teams that works with the league, what they thought about this. And they said they thought it's possible Baltimore is waiting for the NFL to punish him so that they get an out on his contract. Because then it's like, oh, it's a clause you violated, so we're able to bail on this one now. And then really quickly, Mike Garafolo this morning with the report, Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf are working out together. They're in. They had a training session over the weekend, and of course, DK Metcalf, your newest Pittsburgh Steeler, and Aaron Rodgers been tied there pretty frequently. Other than Cam Hayward saying, "Hurry up and make up your damn mind. I'm sick of this."
Do we owe Adam Schefter an apology for the Aaron Rodgers delay? Because now I am finding myself going, "Okay, man, like, this is Pittsburgh, right?" Is Pittsburgh, or what else are you going to do? Like, what are you waiting around for?
I think he's waiting for the draft. Maybe a team strikes out on a quarterback.
We can give him that apology directly if we need to, because we're going to talk to Adam Schefter next week.
Well. All right, there it is. Below the belt on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. We are also your home of the 3-1 Texas Rangers. What an opening series. RJ's going to recap it. And do the torpedo bats need to be banned already? That's next in Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers with Sean and RJ.